Final hour of Bullseye on the afternoon here on AM 930 WEOL and 100.3 FM. Well, I think I screwed this one up. You know, instead of doing Voodoo Child, I should have queued up something much, much cooler like, oh, I don't know, what does the fox say? Because that came up in one of our previous conversations. Our next guest is here in studio with us. He's a rock star. You all know him and love him. Greg Willie with the Friendship APL. Greg, how are you, man?
I'm doing great, man. I'm glad to be here. It's got a warmer day out. It's spring feels like it's right around the corner. We're going to get out of this this drag of a winter and start getting some vitamin C and vitamin D and some sunshine on us. So that'd be nice.
Yeah, we're finally out of that little funk. Finally, I hope. Maybe.
Yeah, I'm hoping. I mean, I know we always get that big snow blast on the opening game for the Indians, but that week's always really rough. But it feels like the spring is upon us. 17 days away, I think, was the count right now. So just count down those days till spring hits, which is good and bad for us, obviously. So you
were telling me this offer. So the fall and the spring are the busiest months for you guys. What is it about the spring that makes things so incredibly busy for you?
So the hardship is, so a friend of mine works down in Jacksonville, Florida. And if you work in Florida, the really hard part about working in Florida is, you know, kitten season and puppy season and all those things. They're year round. All the time. Never turns off. You're just going, going, going. Well, up here, up north in Cleveland area and in Lorain and Elyria, you know, when it gets really, really cold, dogs stop running around. Cats stop running around. They find a little place to chill out and hide and kind of bury themselves in through the wintertime. And it's almost like a little hibernation. So we get this really cool downtime where it's pretty slow and low key. We can do a lot of rescue work. We can reach out and help other communities that are really hard hit, bring animals here and give them a chance to find a home. And average, we have between 70 and 80 cats in our shelter, January, February, early March. Then end of March, April, May, June, by the time May hits, we will go from 80 cats to 300 plus cats and kittens in our shelter in any one given day. So it really is difficult. And it's hard to adjust to because you get really used to just having this low number and low volume. And then just as soon as you get used to it, you start to see those numbers just pick up. And it's just exponential. So it's 80 to 160, 160 to 320. And you're just like, whoa, what happened? There's just kittens coming out our ears and you're just trying really hard. And so there's this other problem too. So, all right, kitten season hits highest in April and May. But the people out in the public, they're sitting there thinking that the adopters, hey, let's wait till the kids get out of school to adopt. Let's wait until that early June, you know, right after, was it Memorial Day weekend or whatever, end of May, early June. Let's wait and get a cat or kitten then. Meanwhile, so April and May can be really low adoption numbers. And that just is really tough when it coincides with that large number of intakes. So we're really struggling to find homes for them during that same time. So we literally would have 300 cats and kittens in our place. So if people are looking, this is a time when we really want to start recruiting our foster families for that spring and summer. And it's, by the way, just a great summer activity for the kids, for families to come home. I know people sit there and think, you know, I can't do it because I'll never be able to give the animals up. I'll never be able to send them back. I guarantee you, once you have a bunch of 8-week-old kittens running around your house, you will be begging for them to go back. So, you know, but it is fun. And it's a very rewarding experience for a lot of kids when they're home during the school years to actually kind of do this thing where they're caring for something and taking care of it. It's a special project, keeps them busy and occupied. I really think it really kind of fulfills a need in them. And it's just a really great learning experience for children and families. So for puppies and kittens, by the way, both of them.
Yeah, teach them a sense of responsibility, right?
Right.
And I think
absolutely.
That's the idea.
Absolutely. And there's nothing better than the kittens and puppies to teach them that sense of responsibility. And for this point, they're always going to stay kittens and puppies as far as you're concerned, because they're giving them up before they turn into cats and dogs, before they're really kind of becoming those things that are kind of permanent members of your home that are hard to really give up and let go. So really interesting and a lot of fun. And we have lots of families that do that. And what we are always trying to do is recruit those foster families now. So if you're interested, you know, attend a volunteer orientation, come on down. I think our next one is March 14th. Yes. Or 15th. Either which way. Saturday, second Saturday of every month at 10 a.m. You come down, you attend our orientation, and we'll teach you everything you need to know to kind of get started. Our orientations are really cool. They're about 2 hours. They're really just about getting you inspired to get involved with us. It's not really a black and white, here's the rules and here's the thing. We try to just kind of make it this really kind of informative thing where people really enjoy themselves.
Good stuff. Well, that wasn't even on the list of topics we were going to hit, but we just nailed that right out of the gate. So I'm glad we hit on that. But there are a few other things I want to talk to you about. One of your most popular events of the year.
Yes.
Is one of the coolest names I could think of.
Yes.
Wags to Riches. Now, you
got
mentioned
it.
There aren't many spots left here. This is a really popular event.
It is. It is a huge event for us. It's at Tom's Country Place. It's so much fun. It's so rewarding. Everybody has a great time. It's just one of the biggest events, the highlights of the year. We have live music, open bar, which everybody loves. It's really pretty adult-centric, obviously, when it comes to that. We have a casino night. The casino games are all free. You kind of play those all night long. And at the end of the day, we bring some animals out there that were beneficiaries of our medical relief fund. These are animals that were sick or injured or something like that needed emergency care. And our shelter spent over $200,000 last year on emergency care alone. Just taking care of animals that came in that had a broken leg or were sick and had parvo or, you know, which we just are dealing with right now, which you're pointing out. We got a little box of two puppies that were found and someone brought in and they were both very, very sick. And we have to take and treat them. And that treatment can cost us $3,000 to treat those two puppies. $3,000 to treat and try to save those two puppies. And that's really what it boils down to, is this event really helps offset some of those costs that go along with this, because we do not make it up in adoption fees. Every adoption we do, we actually lose a little bit of money from the spay and neuter, the microchipping, the vaccines, the deworming, barring any kind of other health issues that may be going on. So Wags to Riches is that event that helps propel us forward and allows us to save so many lives during the course of the year.
Now that takes place next month, right? We're about a month away. Tom's Country Place.
April 4th. We got tickets. You can go to www.friendshipapl.org to purchase tickets. We only have a handful left. So if you're really interested, I'm telling you, this is a great event. You will have a blast. You'll cry. You'll laugh. You'll rock it out with some good music and get your drink on and just have a great time. So, and everybody walks out there with baskets and gifts and goodies and bottles of wine. Everybody walks out with something. Everybody's a winner there.
Very cool stuff. Wags to Riches, too. Yes. How can you not get hooked on the name alone?
Oh, yeah. We're really, really proud of that name. So this is going to be our 11th year doing this, 11 years of doing this. And I remember 11 years ago when we started out, and I just come to Lorain County, and our first year we had like 70 people that came to the event. Now it's 300-plus people that are coming to this event. We're going to have almost 350, 360 people at the event, and it's so exciting. It's so much fun, and everybody loves it.
So you mentioned this a few moments ago, and I've got to bring this back up. A sad story about the two puppies that were found in a box in Lorain a couple weeks ago. You mentioned they tested positive for parvo. Unfortunately, one's no longer with us. But the second one is doing okay now. And Cuda, right? Cuda. So Cuda's still going strong, and he's now with a foster family, correct?
Right. So we have fosters that are specifically dedicated to caring for animals with parvovirus because it's very, very risky because the animal can still shed parvovirus in the home. So we have these like very specific foster families that really dedicate everything to having just these specific types of animals in their home. And that dog is going to recover there for the next couple of weeks, do better. We have, obviously, from telling those stories and sharing those stories online, you know, we have tons and tons of interest on these particular puppies. But we always have other puppies that are just waiting in line, waiting for, forever homes, waiting to go to, you know, we work with a group called Geauga Rescue Moms and Pups. Geauga Rescue Moms and Pups goes down to these very at-risk shelters all throughout southern Ohio, West Virginia, Kentucky, and actually, to be honest, the city of Cleveland Kennels as well, and pulls moms and puppies out of these shelters where they would not survive in the shelters. This is not coming from puppy mills or anything like that. These are coming from shelters where these animals are in danger, because people don't think about that. But a two-week-old puppy that walks into a dirty shelter in a southern Ohio that has no resources, no money. Some of these shelters are just lean-tos behind a sheriff's department. I mean, with a corrugated board on top of it. I mean, that's how rough some of these shelters are. And without this group going down to these shelters and taking them out and fostering them in their barns and fostering them in their homes, and it's just a really good group of women that just really take care of all these animals. And then they like taking care of them, but they don't like adopting them out. They don't want to deal with the people. So they bring those puppies to us to let them find a forever home through us. And we spay and neuter them, vaccinate them, deworm them, and we provide all the medical care for them. So if one of their puppies in their place breaks with parvo, which is very, a high risk thing in a lot of these more rural shelters, then we treat them for them and help provide them. They don't do the fundraising that we do. So, and we'll provide the care. And then they provide the foster homes for the parvo puppies, like these ones, while they get healed and help recover from their illness.
You know, one of the interesting things about talking to you is that you've got all these stories, you know, and some are sad, but most of them are just so interesting, and I immediately get hooked. So, you know, we started off by talking about the two puppies we just mentioned that were found in Lorain a couple of weeks ago, and then you started telling me about a totally different story about these Great Danes and how this gentleman connected with and spoke to these Great Danes speaking in Iroquois?
Yeah, so it was really, really crazy. So I get this call. These four Great Danes are in distress. The owner has passed away, and the other owner is very, very sick and can no longer take care of them. And the brother came into town to actually assist me in getting these dogs and loaded into our van. And if anybody's ever worked with Great Danes are very shaky, very nervous dogs. And it seemed like the family had been in ill health for quite some time. They had been really struggling, you know, even before the death. So these dogs had really been in a bad way for quite a few months, it looked like, from what we could tell. So this guy comes in, and we're bringing him out, and we're trying to load these Great Danes onto the van. And all of a sudden, as we're dealing with the last one, and it is the shakiest of them all. It is really nervous, and it does not want to go, and it just keeps on backing away from the crate, and backing away from the van, and the guy stops, and he just grabs the dog, and he holds it, and he starts whispering these words into the dog's ear, and he's just whispering over, and I'm like, what language is that? I'm trying to figure out if it's like Czechoslovakian, or it's like some kind of like, something I'd never heard before. It wasn't German. It wasn't French. I didn't know. And the guy, like, I'm like, what language was that? As he gets the dog to calm down, he gets it into the crate. And he's like, that's Iroquois. That's First Nation people. They were masters of dogs. And I was like, wow, that's the coolest thing. And the guy looked like, you know, like out of like, you know, a Duck Dynasty type guy. And, you know, I mean, it's just, we run into these crazy people and with these crazy stories themselves. And that's, you know, a lot of time what I'm doing is I'm relating, you know, the stories that these other people have and, you know, watching other people and learning from them and how his attitude and his behavior really calmed the dog down. And was able to do it in a safe way where we're not, you know, just kind of, you know, manhandling a dog into a crate. It made it so much better for both the dog and for us. And now that dog's found a home and doing well. It's in a home with other Great Danes and has adjusted to that life. And, you know, it just makes it all worthwhile. But it's just crazy stories, just all these crazy stories. I mean, just run into the craziest people. Some good, some bad, but always interesting.
Yeah, it never seems like you really have much of a dull moment. It seems like your job is anything but boring.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's always interesting. And I put myself in, you know, I really go out of my way to put myself in interesting situations and interesting stories. And, you know, you were saying earlier, you know, you have the box of puppies and it really makes you angry when you see something like that. And, it does, you know. And I can tell all these stories in a completely different way that would make people really angry. That would sit there and say, yeah, this world is terrible and it's full of like terrible, terrible people. But, you know, a lot of what I deal with, I'm dealing with people that, you know, they don't mean bad. You know, they're not trying to be bad. You know, they're people that are oftentimes down on their luck. They're people that are hurting. They're people in pain. Their people are suffering. They're losing their homes too. You know, they've lost loved ones. They've lost things, and they're suffering. You know, so sometimes it makes them make really bad decisions. Some of these people make bad life decisions all the time, but they don't really have a support network. They have no one to take care of them or help them or get them through or support them. They're facing eviction. And, you know, yeah, and there's a way of looking at it. Like, a lot of people will sit there and say, you know, these people will call us and they'll say, I'm getting evicted. I need to find a place for my dogs. And we're like, when are you getting evicted? Tomorrow. And we're like, why did you wait until 24 hours to bring those dogs to us or cats to us? Why did you wait to this very moment? And, you know, it's because people think right up until the very end, something is going to change. Something's going to intervene. Something's going to save them from losing their home. Something's going to stop that sheriff's department from walking through their doors and putting all their stuff on the curb. Everybody, like, you know, something's going to save them. And you know, and it's up until that very last minute. You know, I think that's just kind of the hope that exists within humanity to some degree. Like, the, you know, I mean, it's the same thing with illness and injury. And, you know, I'm trying to convince people, like, hey, dude, you're really, really sick. You know, the best thing you can do is just give up all these animals. And they're like, well, I want to keep one because I just need this one. And I'm like, well, what's going to happen to that dog when you get too sick to care for it? Just give it up now. It'll make things easier for you, the dog, everything. You know, because ultimately what's going to happen is you're going to get to a place and then there's, who's going to know about this dog? What's going to happen to that dog? Is it just going to be left in the house? Is who's going to take it on? Is there going to be anybody that knows to call us in the event that something happens? And that's really, really tragically hard, you know? And I get a call from somebody else the other day and they're dealing with eviction. They're like, hey, these people are getting evicted. They want a place to temporarily house their animals. And I'm like, why? I know that seems like the good thing to do, but that is like an albatross around your neck. That is like a thing that's just going to tie these people down. I'm like, if they give up, I mean, it's so much harder to find they're already under the gun to find a place to go. It is going to be 10 times harder to find a place to go if they have two cats and two dogs. I'm like, they're going to have to pay a pet deposit or they're going to lie. And then they're going to get evicted again because they're going to lie and say they don't have any animals. And they're going to say they don't have any animals because they think they're doing a good thing. You know, that's what people misunderstand all the time is they're like, well, they shouldn't have lied. Well, they're lying because they want to save their animals and prevent them from going to a shelter. That's why they're lying, you know. And so you have to understand that. But I'm telling these people, I'm like, convince them to surrender the animals. And I'm like, and one day when they're on their feet and everything's good, they'll be able to pay it forward to somebody else that's in the same boat that they're in. And that's the way this world works. You know, that's the way all this works. Somebody else will need that help a year or two from now when they've gotten everything settled. But why go through that, you know, now?
So sure. Oh, like you said too, I think originally they think they're doing the right thing.
Yeah, they do. You don't want to give up your animals. I mean, giving up your animals is like, I mean, for a lot of these people, that's the last shred of dignity. They can't even take care of a dog. They can't even take care of a cat. I mean, like, really, it is something that just kind of, I mean, it is an ache. It is a pain. It is true suffering for a lot of these people, you know. I mean, to just sit there and say, I can't do this thing anymore. I can't provide for an animal. And we watch people all the time. You know, I've gone to houses where people are, you know, buying 99-cent cheeseburgers, and they're giving the cheeseburger to the dog and eating the bun themselves, and that's all they're eating. You know, like, it can be really crazy. It can be really heartbreaking out there. There are a lot of people, like I said, and you can look at that person and just say, oh, my God, wow, yeah. You know, but I look at that person and I feel for that person. I feel like that person's trying so hard to do the best they can. And we still have to go in there oftentimes and take the animals from them and try to convince them that, you know, giving the animals over to us is the best thing they can do so they can eat that whole cheeseburger because they need it too. There's no good done if they don't survive to take care of the dog.
Right. Well, and sometimes they need things to help put a smile on their face. And you know, you've got just the thing. You guys are partnering with the Indians. And, you know, I could tell you that when I walked into the door today, my wife was going to grab this thing out of my hands and she's going to claim that it's hers and she's going to pop it up in the room because she's going to love this 2020 Indians Pet Calendar, and half the proceeds are going to you guys. This is a really cool partnership.
Yeah, it is a really great partnership. So one of my board members, Amy Richards, she's with the Cleveland Indians, and she really loves Friendship Animal Protective League and convinced the Indians, who are also pet lovers, to kind of partner with us on this event and help us raise funds. And these funds are going to help us kind of do a big, giant remodel project outside to help us turn our play areas where our volunteers take our dogs into out for walks and exercise. It's going to help us transform this area, because 50% of the proceeds from this calendar are going directly back to our shelter. The other 50% are going to Cleveland Indians Charities, selected by the wives. But 50% is coming right here to Lorain County. It's crazy. So, like, these calendars are really, really awesome. They actually run, start on February 1st. They kicked off with Tribe Fest, so you're only actually missing a month. And they go all the way through January of next year. So it has a weird kind of, like, start time and end time. So you actually didn't miss the January month. And it's just full of great pictures. It's full of your favorite players. I mean, Clevenger is out in Maria's Garden of Hope, that's with all the sunflowers right here, and that was in Avon. I mean, it's really, really cool. And it's pictures of all the players with their own pets. And, you know, just shows their dedication, their love for animals. And there's some crazy pictures in here, pictures of people. One of them has a tiger. So, I mean, he's pretty crazy.
One of the Indians is sporting a tiger.
Yeah. I don't think that's his personal pet, but he's definitely hanging out with a tiger.
No, this is really cool. And I'm actually looking at the picture you just referenced where Clevenger is in Maria's Field of Hope with all the sunflowers, and he's got the little dog walking right out there in front of him. This is really awesome. I think Oscar Mercado's in here.
Is that
a goat? What is that? Is it
he's
a goat?
He's a goat. He actually does. It was from a yoga class where he's doing pet therapy, or like a yoga therapy with a goat.
Goat
yoga. Yeah. Yes. Goat yoga. So that's what they were doing, but really, really cool. And it was so cool when we kicked these off with Tribe Fest. And if you got to go down to Tribe Fest, you would have saw how amazing it was. All the players, we brought puppies down that day. All the players just hanging out with the puppies all day long. Bowers was just hilarious. I mean, this puppy just fell asleep in his arms. We all thought he was going to adopt it. It just sat there the whole time, just sitting in his arms. These guys, these players, these young men, they go away from home. A lot of them are going away from home for they don't get to see animals and interact with their pets and do all these things while they're on the road all the time. So, you know, seeing them with these animals is just, you know, it melts your heart to see, you know, these young men just kind of, you know, latch onto these puppies and latch onto the dogs and just like hold them like there's no tomorrow, because they just need that kind of anchor in their life that with all the chaos and craziness, especially the really young players, this is just all new to them and they're just like, what is going on? And you know, there's 20,000 people pouring into that into the convention center, and these guys are just kind of come up and they're new to the Indians and they see all this and they're just like heads are exploding because they're just never experienced anything like that before, and it's really exciting to see. And it's just really cool. Clevenger, man, he just plays, he loves just roll around on the floor with a puppy all over him, and it's just crazy to see. It's just so, like I said, it is heartwarming, and it's really exciting. So we're hoping people will come down. These calendars are available at Friendship APL, or you can go to the Cleveland Indians team shops, and they're available at the Cleveland Indians team shops as well. But we also have them available online, but I really do recommend you come down and take a look at, visit our shelter. Come down. It's a lot cheaper if you buy them in person. They're $15 and well worth it. And like I said, $7.50 is going to stay right here in Lorain County and help us with our shelter and the work that we do.
Very cool stuff. Well, see, that's how great Greg is. He could read my mind. He knew that's exactly what I was going to ask, because I figured that people were going to ask as well, where can we get these? At the Indians Team Shop, at the Friendship APL. Yeah. And these are really cool calendars. Lots of really cool shots in here as well. And as Greg mentioned, 50% of the proceeds coming right back here to Lorain County towards the Friendship APL. This is awesome, man.
I love coming.
Pleasure as always. Always love having you here in studio with us.
Awesome.
And that, I tell you what, so we're talking about Wags and Wretches coming up later on this month. I love golf. You guys have a golf outing coming up in the summertime. We'll have you on again and maybe see if we can connect the dots.
Yes.
Come on out there for that golf outing,
too. Oh, God, it'll be a blast. It'll be a blast.
Always good stuff.
Oh, yeah, we're moving it this year, so it's going to be right down the street from here, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
Good stuff. Greg, thanks as always for coming in, man.
Oh,
always
man.
A pleasure.
Thank you for having me.
That's Greg Willie with the Friendship APL. As Greg mentioned a few moments ago, make sure you